If I give a fuck what y'all think I would be doing this? Welcome to the FMFU podcast, the podcast that's from me, for us. Vulgar but true, real and never fake. I'm your host, Ayo Reese, and I've got a lot of shit on my mind today, so let's get into it. Happy Friday, people, and welcome to an all-new exciting episode of the From Me, For Us podcast. And actually, is it really Friday? Because it doesn't really feel like it. It's actually a different day. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, we're doing something different this week. If you're a true listener of the pod, you're probably wondering, like, what the fuck happened to me dropping on Friday? Realistically, you know, I record on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on my schedule, and then just actually release it out on Friday. Well, I purposely delayed this episode curation slash drop because in my heart, I had a feeling something was going to happen. Timing would have been pretty fucked up with all this, right? But I knew something was going to be brewing like a hot cup of tea, and I wanted to be able to get all my storyline ducks in a row. But now that we're here, it's been a crazy few weeks. My personal life has been crazy. We've had eclipses covering the earth, making it all dark and shit. Iran launched drone attacks at Israel. And the world of hip hop is going fucking bonkers. Shit's been fucking bananas. And honestly, it's a lot to keep up with, especially if you're a casual. But I got your back on this hip hop shit because I had to line things up for myself to understand. And I figured, why not share this with the people I enjoy the most? My listeners. Appreciate y'all. So, in case you've been under a rock or are having trouble keeping up with the timeline of this shit, to piggyback off the last pod, we know the Marvel nigga Civil War started with Future and Metro dropping We Don't Trust You, and like that being one of the most standout tracks due to the Fuck the Big Three bar by Kendrick. So because of this, let's be honest, we all been waiting for a response from someone. Mostly because of someone who grew up in that 90s beef era, you really don't get shit like this happening anymore. So essentially, we're all fucking fiending for it. So to our surprise, J. Cole drops an EP, Might Delete Later. It got some fire rapping on it. You know, Cole been on a tear and been tearing it down for a while now. And the EP, it's solid. Has a couple joints I like. So, you know, ultimately, it's a nice teaser to the album that's on the way. The Dipset fanatic in me loved the I'm Ready remix with Cam. You know, had a couple other joints. Again. A solid EP. But the standout talked about track, though, is the 7-minute drill because it's a Kendrick Lamar reply. Shit's basically a fucking warning shot that I really don't want to do this, but anyone can get it if they want it. The 7-minute drill track, it was cool, but the first half seemed a little lazy to me, and honestly, he probably just needed to keep the second half with the beat switch and left it at that, but we had gotten what we had gotten at the time. So with Kendrick and Cole both throwing jabs per se, everyone is anticipating what's going to happen next. Social media is so damn thirsty, like we all on edge. 2 days later, Dreamville Fest happens. This nigga J. Cole goes on stage, does a long monologue, says he's going to take the record down, and apologizes for dissing Kendrick Lamar. Nigga, what? Nigga, how the fuck you apologizing? You a top tier rapper in the game, been killing everyone on these features for like 2 years, maybe more straight, and you apologize for jabbing a nigga? Shit threw me for a fucking loop. Now granted, as many of you probably read so many Twitter think pieces about this shit, just know that you ain't getting no more social media posts out of me when it comes to convos like this. If you want to know what I think, you need to wait until I drop it on here. So to finally give my opinion on the whole J. Cole apology thing, if the beef shit wasn't in him and he didn't want to diss anyone, he should have never made the 7-minute drill track. My advice would have been to drop the EP and let people assume there are subs or whatever throughout, even if you did record it a while ago. But dropping a specific last minute created track aimed at someone because people are gassing you up and walking it down just ain't it. Now I get it, people get gassed up by people around them all the time and it causes us to do dumb shit that we maybe wouldn't do on our own. You know, there's this running joke on the internet, and it's this girlfriend, and she's telling the boyfriend, like, babe, he touched my ass, go handle that. And the boyfriend's replying, like, oh, or that muscle nigga over there with the gun on his hip, and the girlfriend's gassing the boyfriend up to do something. So, of course, he feels like he has to do something, even though it isn't the best decision for his life. He's probably going to lose his life. But anyways, rich, famous, being a rapper, it doesn't matter. We're all human beings, and the shit is prone to happen one way or another where others tend to gas niggas up. I'm not against J. Cole bowing out of this Marvel nigga civil war, but you are not taking any type of slander if you would have simply just don't drop the track. And don't let the fake non-rap history knowing Twitter cronies assume any trash talk was going on, or just let the EP live and let them just assume that maybe you were saying, fuck it, anybody can get the smoke. By you doing this, really, the allure is kind of gone. Like, there's no more, oh, I want the smoke, or I'm eating any rapper's paws. Like, I think all that shit is gone for the allure. But I will say, I personally don't think that it takes away from J. Cole's skill set or his talent as a rapper. Some dudes, they have the skills to be the top dog, but they don't necessarily want to compete with their friends or acquaintances, especially if this beef is, you know, if the beef is sort of fake and not over any like real street type shit. Like the genre of rap, this is one of the only genres where we compete. Like I don't hear any other genres where they have to compete and be on some teardown shit. So if as a person, your mental health is bothering you behind this, I salute you for being able to make your mental health a priority instead of getting involved in some fuck shit that won't amount to shit, but clout on the quote unquote Twitter streets. It won't get you more money, more bitches, more health longevity, or anything else. So there's nothing wrong with deciding to prioritize your mental health. But the 90s grown up kid who loved rap back then just as much as I do now and me is like, damn, nigga, like, what the fuck? Like, this is some shit that is not supposed to happen. It's like if Gohan never awoke his power against Cell. Like, it's legit like some Cell versus Gohan type shit. Like, Cell was the perfect, ruthless, and ready to kill all machine and didn't give a fuck. And as much as Goku knew Gohan was the strongest, Gohan really didn't want to fight unless he had to. If he didn't have to, he wouldn't have. That's why when he got grown, at least until the latest Dragon Ball Super movie, he wasn't really fighting like that as a teenager or a grown man. He just wanted to be in the grass fields and take care of his family. That's what J. Cole prioritized. Grass fields, mental health, his family, and that's okay. I'll still be a fan and listen to the raps because the talent is undeniable and the raps are already solidified, but that whole ain't nobody fucking with me shit, it's just gonna look funny in the light no matter how much anyone tries to ignore it. That's a hill you're gonna have to sit on, and if you're comfortable with that, it's cool. It seems that, you know, he understands the ramifications and maybe there's a bigger reason for bowing out of the shit gracefully. Maybe one day we'll see all of the variables of why he backed down so quickly. Maybe it's happening right in front of our very eyes. I don't know. But since you're bowing out the way gracefully, let's move back on to the main event. So after J. Cole, Future, and Metro were planning to drop their next album, it was titled We Still Don't Trust You. Which actually, when it dropped, it ended up being a quote-unquote double disc. I mean, really double disc. We got iPhones and shit now. But it ended up being a double disc, and I'm up on Thursday. So prior to the album dropping Friday at midnight, you know, I told myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stay up and I'm going to listen to it right when it dropped, just how I did the first one. Not only because I wanted to hear more heat, but, you know, we trying to keep up with this crazy hip hop timeline, right? So I think like everyone else, I listened with the expectation of, are they going to still be shooting? You know, and I was honestly also expecting maybe a Like That Part 2. Because in the original version, Future was faded out at the end rapping another verse. So I'm thinking, hey, maybe he's going to come back with some more heat. It's going to be a part two, a remix, et cetera, et cetera. But really, to my surprise, this was a totally different album. We didn't get rapping Future, but we got R&B Future. Future Vandross, as we call him. So outside of any expectations for all the hip hop beef aside, it threw me for a loop for the first few tracks. But after I realized what it was, I actually took the ride of the journey of the album, and I really fucking enjoy We Still Don't Trust You. Like, Future Vandross is probably when Future is at the height of his powers for real. Like, he's probably the first one to originate that singing thug sound that everyone else wants to emulate. Love Bad Bitches, probably my favorite joint on there, because realistically, who doesn't? Even if your woman is a good girl, you still love when she dresses up and makes it real for you and turns into a bad bitch, period. Metro again, demon on the production. Not sure what the hell they be doing in that studio, but they need to keep it up. You know, and even though we were looking for maybe some more major shots or some more, you know, crazy shit compared to the first album, you know, there were a couple mini shots on there. You know, a couple from The Weeknd, nothing really too major, you know, something light. ASAP Rocky, he felt the need to, you know, get from Rihanna's ass and dust off the pen a little bit. But honestly, he just need to continue staying in that ass, pause, and continue walking fashion runways, because that verse was just super meh. Like, plus, if you bragging about smashing my BM, I mean, I can say I smashed yours too, so does it really matter, especially if your BM is Rihanna and I already smashed too? Nah, not really. So, if we fast forward through, you know, Friday comes and goes, and then as Saturday afternoon approaches, we get it. We finally fucking get it. The Drake response. When this first dropped, we all thought it was AI. I mean, I did a whole episode about AI, right? So, I mean, honestly, you can never be so sure when somebody's saying, oh, this is the diss and it's considered a leak. Anytime I hear it's a leak, I'm always going to be a little suspicious. Like, even from the first version that was sent to me, it was a different sound than the, I guess you can call it, real leak. But after all the reports and everything came out, yep, it's fucking real. So since it's legit, let's dive into this shit. Here we go. So first of all, let me tell you this. The DJ Who Kid opening is a fucking G-Unit mixtape staple. Like, if you was really in the streets and know this shit, you know what that means. Everybody know them G-Unit mixtape radio days. When that came on, 50 of them niggas was getting ready to get on there and dust some niggas. So as soon as I hear this, I'm like, oh shit, here we go. The beat is up tempo. The keys are on some scary movie time. It's aggressive. Not no lazy shit like Cole's first half diss. And boy, oh boy, were there a lot of slick shots. Now, I'm not going to do no bar by bar breakdown, but I do have to say, some of y'all niggas really don't listen to music and y'all just skim through it. And to y'all Twitter people, half of y'all need your carpool because you don't know shit about rap or hip hop. I'm seeing claims that the diss was trash. He ain't say nothing except Kendrick was short. Well, since y'all niggas on Twitter don't really listen to what's being said or maybe not enlightened enough so things go over your head, let me break down what all was said on a person by person basis. So for the he ain't say much to Kendrick crowd, just go read lyrics on Genius or some shit, because Kendrick probably caught the most smoke on the track. From being called a size 7 wearing little boy that ain't snatching no change as claimed on Like That, to being told his albums are weak and people only hype you up because they tired of my greatness and having greatness fatigue, which is very debatable on both ends, spilling the tea about how you split all your money with 100 million labels and the labels make you do shows and tracks for the whiteys of Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift, you're not even the owner of your work decisions. Top said drop, which could be an indication of give me my cut, or the fact that they split up. You not in no big three, and you really mad at me because I always been on top. Basically called him a pint-sized hater with little man syndrome. If Prince outlived Mike Jack, remember that Prince is a son to the king of pop, so if you Prince and I'm Mike Jack, you my son, nigga. I'm sonning you because I put you on Take Care. I gave you more exposure, and to sum it up, I'll say again, I'm wearing all my change in your city, Compton or LA, because I got bodyguards like I'm Whitney, which is a double or maybe even a triple entendre of the movie Bodyguard starring Whitney Houston and a possible wife reference of his. He also said, like, that ain't start shit, so don't think you taking credit. We been had issues, but now it's heating up. And fuck what Cole's saying about peace. Your shit was weak as fuck, and he do not speak for me. So let's just pause there. If we count up all, we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, shit, maybe even 9 or 10 things that were said. So how the fuck didn't he say anything except that he's short? Take the cape off, niggas. If anything, and we really want to have this conversation about not saying much, he really ain't say much to Future, except I can never be your number one fan and I gave you your first number one. Now, if we want to debate that he didn't shoot at Future much, then let's discuss that as an actual fact, not Kendrick. And honestly, since this is all occurring because it was on Future's album, to me, this is all a Drake versus Future thing with everyone else picking a side. No one is saying pick a side and referring to Drake versus Kendrick. Kendrick didn't quote unquote save hip hop dummies. If anything, Future and Metro did with their album. Y'all caping way too fucking hard for Kendrick Lamar. Yes, people know Kendrick can rap. And yes, he can body you. And yes, all of the things above. So yes, we're all ready to hear what he has to say. But in the Marvel Niggas Civil War, if there was a theater poster or a DVD cover, Future would be Cap, Drake would be Iron Man, or vice versa, and the rest of these niggas are a part of the background. Understand the parameters. But anyways, back into this track. Who else did this nigga shoot at? Because it was a lot of motherfuckers. I thought telling Metro to shut up and make beats was hilarious. The Weeknd was implied that, you know, The Weeknd be tricking on niggas and he ain't really rocked with in the six, which was okay. You know, just man. You know, Ja Morant, you know, he caught a stray, probably over a bitch. Ross caught a stray as well by being called officer and saying he old, but nothing really too major on Ross either. Ultimately, the nigga concluded, my pick on the wall, because y'all all want to be me. I'm Spider-Man and y'all the Sinister Six. Like, as far as diss records itself go, I would say, from a person who's heard a lot of diss records in his history, I would say this is a solid diss record where he did take the challenge to go up against all these niggas in a matter of less than 4 minutes. No, I'm not about to sit here and say it's a top diss record of all time or it's one of the greatest of all times or anything like that, but it's definitely firing on all these motherfuckers that have something to say, and I respect that. Like, seeing Drake be in his rapping bag is what most real niggas want to see instead of all the pop type joints, because we know he's more than capable of producing shit like this. But shit, we ain't even done yet, because not even hours later, the boss Rosé had some shit to say.
It's the FMFU podcast, bitch.
So in a matter of hours, Rosé fires back with a diss. It happened so quickly and shit was so crazy. It reminded me of the radio days when niggas were sending their shit to be played up there in real time on Hot 97 or some shit. Mind you, you know, I'm with my son. I'm out and about. You know, I took him to the Monster Jam show at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. We looking at monster trucks and shit. But when all this is going on, I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm still trying to keep up. Like, I'm getting fucking overwhelmed. So, you know, really just on the topic of Rick Ross, like, I tell everybody all the time, I'm not about to say he's maybe top five of all time, but for me, as far as my favorite rap artists go, I'll say he's probably one of my top five favorite rap artists of all time. Like, I've never really heard a bad Rick Ross verse, and usually he always drops solid albums, et cetera, et cetera. It's not always just a dependency on Drake, as Drake says, but whatever, we're going to shoot the shots how we shoot them, right? We are dissing each other. But as far as this diss itself goes, I just have to be objective and say, I think the response was solid. I feel like, you know, honestly, they were like, oh, he went to the studio so fast. I feel like he probably had wind of that leak that it was about to drop, or there was about to be some funny shit going on, because these niggas is all messy. Let's be real. They are like little schoolgirls at times. And he probably was already in the studio. That's why he was laughing already in there, like not even an hour later, and then dropped his shit. He probably already had it written down. So, you know, he was definitely ready for it, and the track was solid. It was him flowing, doing his thing. Like, it wasn't super fire, you know, but it wasn't, you know, bad. And, you know, for context, I really don't think he said much. I mean, he just said, like, you know, oh, you know, maybe, what was it, a couple ghostwriting shots. You know, Wayne gave you the juice. I let you on my songs. You know, some shit like that. He definitely running with the white boy shit, too, which for social media and clowning purposes is hilarious as fuck. Like, I think outside the white boy social media clowning, the main thing that is catching the most steam is the Drake nose and surgery allegations. This isn't something new. Like, people have been saying this shit for a while, that the nigga had some type of surgery. But to me, honestly, as much as that's been the biggest talk, I don't really give a fuck, because this really comes down to the raps. Like, let's think about this. So J. Cole bowed out. And people were like, oh, well, you know, let's big him up for being a bigger man. This could get super serious, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but then everybody were like, nah, fuck that. We just only looking for it for the competition to rap. Like, you know, nobody was going to get hurt in real life, J. Cole. Like, you shouldn't have bowed out. So if that's the case, I don't really think we can be in a diss song just mouthing off at the end about personal shit. Now, if you want to talk about that shit and make it be known, you got to put that shit in a rap. Like, rap about it. Make it clever. Make it sound good. Like, it would have hit harder. Because now, the only thing we're really talking about is you mouthing off at the end. And really, that's just not what the important thing is. Really, it's about who's doing the best disses when it comes to rapping. It would have just been more clever if it was in a song. Like, that's really the only focus now. Like, that's the only talking point about what's going on with Rick Ross. And what he said was, oh, the nigga had surgery. Like, nobody's even talking about the actual diss itself. It's like, it's just, it just was casted to the side. Like, I don't give a shit about social media TMZ gossip. Like, I just don't give a fuck. Like, if the war we call in this is supposed to be the rap war, and we're not talking about, like, hurting people or just gossiping about people, then put the exposure in a verse and make that the focus. I know you're probably going to say, well, Tupac, yeah, okay, Tupac did say Mobb Deep, you had sickle cell and went crazy on Bad Boy at the end and said, fuck y'all as a label record exec and staff and shit, don't hit him up. But, I mean, these niggas had real life street beef. That shit is just totally different to me because, like, I mean, they, you know, he's thinking they set this nigga to get shot. Like, at this point, that shit's bigger than music. I'm saying in the fact of if we're talking now that none of this shit is real beef and is only for the competition of music and ain't nobody about to really get hurt, to keep the shit in the raps and rap about this nigga getting surgery in a BBL, which is funny to me. Because if the main talk is some words you said at the end of, in, you know, the social media trolling, then it's really just distracting from the fact that your diss ain't really hit as hard as the one that was put out against you. Like, I don't really give too much a fuck about gossip and tea, you know, but y'all Twitter niggas only care about the tea. Y'all don't care about the art of the rap along with the disses. Like, I know times are different and social media trolling is going to happen. I mean, I know that's part of the game now, but if you're saying that shit on the rap or on the track, on the diss track, I mean, just to me, I think you should put it in the rap. But yes, social media trolling is going to happen. I'm not stupid. I mean, fuck, come on now. Let's look at 50 Cent. I mean, even this nigga's joining in on the fun because we know 50's the biggest troll. But the main thing is that the focus should be an objective opinion on the sport of the raps. And really, this goes into my other thought about, like, the mass general of Twitter and whatever else. Like, what fucking parameters are y'all doofies measuring shit by? Like, the person who gives the most TMZ exposure or the ability to rap and make the song decent and clever while dissing a person, which might possibly include some type of exposure on said person. Like, what made Push's diss so notorious was that there was exposure, but it was interwoven in the raps. Like, the freestyle beat choice of the story of OJ, which the original version talked about skin complexion type things. RIP to OJ, by the way. That's a whole nother topic. But the fact that Pusha presented it well with his flows is what really made that shit legendary. Like, TMZ type exposure talking at the end of the track isn't what makes a rap diss good or not. Not every diss is going to have some type of TMZ exposure type shit that y'all fiending for anyway. And just because it doesn't have that doesn't mean that it's trash. Hov dissing Jim Jones on the Ballin' beat didn't quote unquote expose anything, but it was the point he was replying because them niggas was throwing shots. Like, Hov was big at the time. He came back from out of retirement. They was clowning the 30s, the new 20s shit and all that. And he threw some shots back on the Ballin' beat and just left it at that. There wasn't any exposure on there, but everybody was hype and wanted to hear about it because we were talking about the raps. Even to me with Ether, Nas didn't really say nothing wild or clever to me from a rap perspective. There wasn't no crazy talking. There wasn't nothing like that. But he did keep everything in the raps. But also the fact that I think with Ether, I think just that beat was so hard and he was clowning, making claims about Hov that we really just couldn't verify during that time period. So that's also what made Ether so damn legendary. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm just going to say this, man. Some of y'all need y'all rap critique cards pulled. And I've already pulled a few. And I need the authority to pull a few more because most of the thoughts, they come from bias and nonsense. We need to start gatekeeping these Twitter nerds and stop making it seem like what the Twitter streets say is exactly what's true. Half of Twitter thinks Travis Scott should be in the big three. We don't believe that shit. And half of these Twitter niggas weren't born when Takeover dropped. If you can't tell me your favorite diss between Real Motherfucking G's by Eazy-E or Fuck With Dre Day by Dre and Snoop, then you can't speak on anything rap to me. You're too busy getting your influences from Twitter, and half of the opinions aren't even objective, hence why they're stricken from the record. Give me your cards, nigga. Thanks for listening to the FMFU podcast. Follow me on Facebook at FMFU Experience. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at FMFU_experience. Also check me out on Twitch for some Warzone action at ReesePup007. Remember people, life is a series of choices. Just make sure you make the right one. Peace.